Hi guys, welcome back to the Nevermind Polly podcast. My name is Matt, I'm your host, and we chat to rock and metal bands from around the world. How are you doing? How are you living? I hope you're all doing well. Whatever you're listening to the podcast, we appreciate you for checking out the show. My guest this time around is the excellent Jorn of the band Bokassa. Bokassa have a brand new record out on the 16th of February called All Out of Dreams. It is wonderfully good. If you're a fan of riffs, if you're a fan of melody, if you're a fan of a good fucking time, this record deserves your attention. This band deserves your attention. We talk about their recent support slot with the excellent Therapy. We talk about them supporting Metallica. We talk about the early life of the band. We talk about all that good stuff that you guys love us to chat about on this podcast. His dream festival rider is fantastic. Also, we talk about the time when he managed to get Red Fang on their record. You can hear that track on the record, and there's a very, very funny incident that happened that caused that to happen, essentially. Very, very good, very, very funny, and I highly, highly recommend you listen to the record. It is fantastic, and I highly recommend you check out this conversation, which you are doing, so congratulations, you've won the grand prize. So, what I did want to quickly say is a massive, huge shout out to Krista over at Costa Natura for setting this interview up. We have been trying to set this up since October, and I'm really, really grateful that we got the opportunity to do so. We are so, so thankful as a small independent podcast to get these opportunities to sit down with these absolute legends. So thank you for that. Thank you for the love and support as always. January has been an absolutely incredible month. We had South of Salem, we had Dream State, we had Dead Poets Society. Lots of fantastic conversations over there in January. Go and check out the back catalogue. And in fact, we have over 250 guest episodes for you to check out. So if this one takes your fancy, maybe just have a little look at the back catalogue. We've got plenty in there. I'm going to shut up waffling and I'm going to let you guys listen to my conversation with Jorn of the band Bokassa on the Nevermind Polly podcast. Let's get to it. Hi guys, welcome back to the Nevermind Polly podcast. My name is Matt, I'm your host, and we chat to rock and metal bands from around the world. And it's my absolute pleasure to bring you this episode. My episode this time around is with the excellent Bokassa. I'm sat down with Jorn. How are we doing, sir? How's things?
Hey, man. Nice to be here. No, things are good, man. Things are good.
Awesome stuff. Awesome stuff. So I want to tell the listeners and things a little quick story time about your band and about this particular encounter we're having now, right? So I sent an email initially inquiring about you having coming on the podcast back in October of 23. And then I got an email from your lovely PR people 2 days ago. I was like, yeah, they're up for it. And literally, I just was like, fucking go on, lad. Because, you know, podcasting is such a weird, weird thing. So I just want to say publicly on the podcast right now, I'm really, really thankful for you coming on because big fan of your band. The new record, All Out Dreams, is going to be out on the 16th of February, as we just discussed, will either be before the podcast or shortly after the podcast. It's 30 minutes. It's 10 songs. It's a fucking rollicking ride. Man, how are you feeling ahead of its release?
I'm really happy. I think it's probably the one record we recorded that I'm most happy with. I can be very like manic in the mixing process. That I'm like, you know, I'm very like, this has to be like this. No, turn this down. I can be like very on this, but on this one is kind of just, there wasn't a lot of, we just got the mixes and we're like, yeah, sounds good. You know,
absolutely.
There was just something about it I felt really like comfortable with the record from early on. So yeah, I'm really excited. I think this is it's a very like perfect symbiosis of our sound. I think it's a lot more maybe the metal riffing from maybe Divide and Conquer, but also we maintained all of the melodies and hooks that I'm so fond of. So I'm really excited for people to listen to it.
Absolutely. And to me, right, so I think this album could be a self-titled record, right? Because when bands make, in my opinion, at least one man's opinion, when they make a self-titled record, when any band makes a self-titled record, it's kind of like a statement of intent. Like, this is who we are. And sometimes I like to, if I find a new band or someone suggests me a band, I'm like, have they got a self-titled record? Which sometimes works, sometimes doesn't. But I'll go, that's a self-titled one. I'll check that one out first. Because in my mind, if I was in a band, that'd be like my overall encompassing sound, everything in it. And this is pretty much that. Like you say, it's got the metal riffs from the first record and second record. Loads of hooks on it. Like, it is just an absolute 1-2 punch. And it is fantastic. And not to blow too much smoke, but generally, I don't like to have... When I get offered bands, it's kind of like, do I A, actively like what they're doing? Yes, you tick that box. Are they doing something interesting or creative in the space while doing their music? Two, you've ticked both boxes. So yeah, it's fucking wicked, man. I absolutely love it. I wanted to kind of ask as well, and I don't want to take away too much of spoiling the magic, right? Because I'm a quite a simple man, basically, mate. I love riffs, right? And you've got plenty of them. So I don't want to strip away too much of the mystique of how you make the record, but I kind of wanted to talk about the creative process, because this record sounds like a group of people in a room jamming it. And I know sometimes that's not how it always is, but how does that kind of creative process work for you guys? Is it just a case of you all getting a room and you just jam it out, or how does that all happen?
Oh, I'm afraid to disappoint you there. No, it's, you shouldn't. What's it called? You don't want to know how the sausage is made.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
No, it's kind of this record has like our previous is like I recorded at home on the GarageBand, mm-hmm. I record the guitars, and I record like the bass just with a guitar with an amp simulator, and I do like drums, and I kind of sing, and I know not scream, because you know I don't want the neighbors to think I'm crazy, so I just sing into my iPad like this, mm-hmm. and I do the same with like the back of vocals and stuff, and I do some leads, and then I send it over to the guys. And then what we did this time, usually we just do the GarageBand things, but this time we also used the GarageBand and then recorded it in our studio, mm-hmm. in Oslo.
Nice.
And then we brought those recordings to Denmark just mm-hmm. to like record it again. So that's how kind of we do it, because I think when you come to the studios, at least for a band like ours, that don't really have time to like fuck around, we have to like,
yeah,
you know, because a studio costs a lot of money, then it's easier to just be like, okay, how was that part, let's just check the demo, and then you have it in the Logic. And also for me, I like to sit with it in the GarageBand, so I can just tighten it here and there if I'm like, nah, that shouldn't go that long, so I could do that just like this, and then have a quite like a finished product. And also, like, there's some riffs, for example, like Olaf's, that we have, like, in a Dropbox folder that I listen to. I'm like, oh, that's a cool one. I use that there. So that's kind of how we work.
Yeah, sure.
So not exactly jamming, but yeah, that's our kind of process.
Well, I love that, because that's the thing as well, because I've had the pleasure of seeing you guys live, and I'll admit, I only saw you the once, and it was supporting a mighty, mighty Metallica, right, at those stadium shows, and it was kind of like, it was a great day, because obviously, Metallica being the fucking, the biggest band in metal slash rock probably ever, right, and it's kind of like, I feel sometimes for bands who have to support bands like that. I've had a few bands who support Iron Maiden, for example, right? And although that's a fantastic thing to do, the fans of said band can sometimes be a little bit like, oh, we don't care, we're just going to get drunk. And I remember like dragging my friend to see Metallica with me, and she's like, who's this first band? I was like, trust me, like you like riffs, you're going to fucking... And literally she was like, oh no, like, you know, you are actually, and you know, I've been trying, whenever I get, you know, into a band, a new band and things like that, it's like, I'm no good at reviewing albums, because I basically just gush about them and say, they're fucking excellent, just go and listen to it. Do you know what I mean? Where people talk more articulately than what I do. But that being said, I wanted to kind of ask, is that the hardest like gig you've had to kind of play as a support for someone that of that magnitude?
No, I don't think that was hard at all.
For sure.
Not to sound like, but like it's so many people, you know, it's so many tens of thousands, so it's just surreal. So at a certain point, it's kind of just like it's fantastic, of course, but it doesn't get to you the same way as I think it's much more horrifying to play for very, very few.
Of course, yeah.
But if you meant like how it was to play to the Metallica crowd, if they cared or not,
Yeah, for sure.
that's hard to say because also since there's so many, you can't really like make out what they are thinking. I
Yeah, of
do
course.
believe just like because that's I guess how it is that like probably 90% of the people were just there to hear Enter Sandman, Nothing Else Matters, and drink some beer. But luckily for us, all we saw was like the first, like the they call it the Black Ticket Roamers and the Snake Pit fans, like
Yeah.
all these two just travel and see Metallica and they are really into everything. So we got like a feeling that, you know, we felt really at home there because we saw them. We didn't see the one at the back of the stadium who just, you know, probably talking and you know, drinking beer. So for us it was a really cool experience. I think it's more awkward when it's like either if you're like supporting a band and that band doesn't do like because we've been supporting some band that kind of does similar numbers at us a little more but same venues and then it can be more awkward if like the venue hasn't filled up and there's like a few bands there. I think that's more awkward than doing like a stadium show because there's so many people anyway, so
Absolutely.
there's always not noise and there's not silence. I think it's, when it's silence, that's when it's awkward. You know, between the
Absolutely.
songs, when there's no sound, then I get like, you
Yeah.
know.
Absolutely. And you know what? Not I don't want to throw any particular band under the bus, but I recently went to a concert a few weeks ago, and like it was it's like a hometown show for like not for the band but for my personal hometown show, and it was sold out, right? It was probably about 350 people, 400 people, right? Sold out, great. Band come on, band's going crazy, everyone's loving it, but the second the guitar stops and the drums stop, everyone is like silent. And it was the fucking weirdest thing. And like, it kind of like, you know, it freaked the kind of band out a little bit. It was like, huh, quiet bunch of the silent type, right? And
Yeah.
like, you know, but it was so good. As soon as the guitar hit again, it was like, oh shit, like everyone's back up for it. Maybe it was a Sunday. That was the reason. I don't know. It was a fucking weird one, man.
Yeah, those shows are the most awkward when it gets silent. So I try to not, you know, try to talk between the songs and not to get that dead air because that can be awkward. So I enjoy when we have like a rowdy crowd that yells, you know, because at least then it's not. Yeah, no, it's not a complete silence.
Absolutely. I quite like the idea of you know, when you go to like a comedy show, you get like hecklers. Like I'd quite like it of a Picasso heckler. I'm not sure what they'd say, but like I suppose you're probably just shouting out songs that you've never you either haven't played or haven't played in a long time. And you think, fucking hell, like if I play this like every night on tour, like two people in the crowd are gonna know it and everyone else is gonna stand around going, the fuck is this? This must be a new one.
No, we do that. We have people yelling stuff, and I find it funny, and I try to, you know, talk with them, you know.
Absolutely.
But yeah, no, we do that a lot because we have people that, especially in Norway and maybe Germany, that comes to a lot of the shows. So we try to give them some deep cut here and there because we know that we're a small enough band that we know, like we can see in the audience, you know. We know of them, and then we try to give them some deep cuts here and there, so it won't be if they've seen us like four times on the same tour. We try to switch it up, so it's basically for them just to be like, we appreciate you coming out so many times, you know. And also,
Absolutely.
it's always fun for us to do like a deep cut. It's like, how was that? Oh, it's actually not that bad.
Absolutely love that. And I just want to quickly acknowledge the lovely Red Fang post you've got in your background of the Zoom call, because Red Fang obviously appear on your brand new record. See that was just a seamless little segue into the thing. Sorry, I can't help but not point it out. I'm a rubbish podcaster, but essentially, yeah. How did that collab come about? Because it's a fucking sick song, and how did that come about?
Well, that song is probably the most stoner metal song on the whole album,
For sure.
and since we got Luke Holler from Sick of All in One, I thought, okay, maybe this is the album we try to get some guests, you know. But I kind of, if we're gonna have guests, I want some guests that, you know, that I look up to and respect. I don't want just like,
yeah, of course,
some friends of ours that I may, of course, may look up or respect them, but I want some big names.
Yeah, of course.
And people that I'm fans of. So we tried to, I was thinking like, okay, you know, Red Fang would be so awesome. And we met them. We played Download in 2022 and we bonded over like a podcast called This Is Important, because I had a t-shirt.
Nice.
So we tried to get in contact with them. I think we went through like two or three emails or something like that. And when we reached them, they said like, yeah, he can do it. If he gets Norwegian salmon. We were like, okay. And then we were like talking to each other, like, does that survive in the email in the mail? And we were like Googling and stuff. And they were like, no, it doesn't survive in the postal. It has to be refrigerated, blah, blah, blah. So we wrote this long email back. We were like, yeah, we can get you in the Norwegian salmon, the Gravlax. But we're not sure it will survive the postal to America, blah, 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 like a long thing.
Yeah.
And then it was just a joke, of course, from his side. We didn't get it, so we just answered like that. But no, and then he sent over his vocals on it. And yeah, that's how it came to be.
I love the idea that Red Fang are just fucking with you. I love that. I love that as an idea, because that's the thing. It's kind of like in the world of music and bands and things. You know, I feel like there is quite like a jovial edge to it sometimes, because you're all going out there, you're all killing it on stage and at festivals and whatnot. So if you get the chance to have some hijinks with your mates, you're gonna do it. And hook, line, and sink. Pardon the pun about fish as well, but I love that. So I wanted to, something I like to do with my artists and my guests that I get to sit down with is take it right back to the beginning, right? So when you were a very young man and things, when does your kind of musical journey begin? Who brought you up into music? Was it family? Was it friends? And what was kind of those early bands that kind of got you into the heavy music?
I think I always was very into music from very early age, from like discovering Aerosmith, Guns N' Roses, and also like probably my pop sensibilities come from like my parents just listened to like, my father listened to country and Eros Ramazzotti, like the Italian
okay,
pop
for sure.
guy,
nice.
And also Wet Wet Wet, you know, those Love Is All Around.
Yeah.
And then my mother had like Bonnie M and stuff, but I remember when I just discovered like Guns N' Roses and Aerosmith, I thought that was the coolest stuff, and also Jimi Hendrix. And I don't know if I actually had heard Jimi Hendrix, but I just saw him with the guitar.
Yeah.
And thought that was awesome. And then from an early age, I got a copy of Kerrang and read about like these like Pantera. I think it was around maybe Far Beyond Driven and Rancid and all these bands. And then like the end of maybe it was on 11, 12, I heard like bands like Bad Religion, NOFX, and that was like a completely new thing for me. And also because, you know, I was playing guitar,
yeah,
but I wasn't pulling off any Guns N' Roses, you know, but NOFX and Bad Religion seemed very obtainable. Same with like, it was around maybe then Offspring Smash or stuff like that.
Yeah.
And there was something about it, especially like NOFX, which is my favorite band.
Okay, amazing.
And then later on, I discovered like bands like Entombed and Slayer and also Fu Manchu. And that's kind of, I listen to a lot of different music, but that is where I, you know, where I lean still.
Absolutely. And I think it's interesting to see where the trajectory goes, because I make this as a kind of joke, but like you start off, like you say, you started off with NOFX, Bad Religion, and then slowly, slowly, slowly you end up at Slayer, Entombed, and like you've gone fully down the rabbit hole. It's always nice to see how many bands it takes before you fall off that proverbial cliff and you're straight in the deep end and like, oh, I'm listening to like, you know, this massively impressive thrashy Slayer or whatever it may be. Do you know what I mean? It's kind of like, I think it was like 3 to 4 bands. So it went Green Day, Blink, like Enter Shikari, Bullet for My Valentine, and then straight off the deep end. And then I discovered like Metallica and Megadeth, and it was kind of like, oh, okay, I'm all. And then next minute I'm listening to Behemoth, and it's like, oh, okay, cool. This is wicked. metal for life, you know?
Yeah.
I wanted to talk as well. You're not long finished off a tour with a previous podcast guest of ours, Therapy. How was that tour? How did you find the boys? How was that whole experience?
Well, it was a cool tour because, I of course think Troublegum is an awesome album, and I also enjoyed for Therapy as a what's called a very diverse discography.
Mm, absolutely.
But we always find songs likened to the Troublegum era on every album, mm-hmm. Which I enjoy. For example, the new one, Hardcore Fire, they had Poundland, which is just an excellent song. And I always thought that their sense of hooks and melodies combined with like the metal punk and the genre things would since they do it, a band like ours, which is very like eclectic with the genres and also have a very strong sense of melody and hooks, I think it would go down nicely with their fans. So that was kind of our idea, and it went really well because, you know, we've been on some cool tours over the years, but sometimes it can be just cool on paper, mm-hmm. and their fans aren't, like you said with Metallica, aren't necessarily interested in something new. Not that I meant the Metallica thing, but I was thinking about some other bands. But we thought maybe Therapy, that we could really, you know, get some of their fans over, mm-hmm. On our side. And I think we did. So we were really happy with how that turned out, actually. Yeah. And also cool to just see every city in Britain, I feel like.
Yeah, for sure. Absolutely. That's
Sheffield, Northampton, Bradford. Like, I've been there now.
Yeah, absolutely. That's the thing as well. I'm not a musician, but something I can attest to with doing this podcast, I'll get offered a band on paper and it's like, ah, that would be sick. And then like, I'll have the conversation, and the conversation is fine because I've caught that person in a half an hour to a 40 minute window of their life, right? And they could have been having a bad day. Do you know what I mean? And it's like, in my head, it's like, this is going to be like the best. And then I'm like, That was perfectly at 6.5 out of 10. That was completely fine. Like, do you know what I mean? Currently we're operating on about an 8 or a 9, so you're doing well.
Oh, nice. I appreciate it.
To be honest, it's basically what I try and do is I try and just like get across the kind of British vibe. And since you've been over to the UK with Therapy and things, I feel like you've been up and down the country, like you've experienced our bad weather, you've experienced our hopefully lovely crowds, like you get in the British humour. Because sometimes when like Americans tend to get it, Australians get it, your neck of the woods generally can be a little bit like, I'll make a joke and they're like, I don't get it. maybe it's just a Norway kind of that area of the world kind of thing, but I don't know. It's kind of fun.
Yeah, no, I really enjoy playing in Britain just because of like the British banter. I always enjoy talking to Brits, and there's always like a tongue in cheek approach. Which I like.
Should I tell you the truth? It's because we're fucking miserable, that's why. 90% of the time it's raining and we're all fucking miserable.
Yeah, I mean, talking about that, like, because we were playing this December in Britain, and like, for example, like Norway in 2024 has just been like snow. It's been like some parts of the country has been -40 degrees. It's been like a shit show. Trains and buses haven't gone, but that was just like at a certain point, because I think we came home like 18th of December, and I had just forgot that it was Christmas.
Yeah,
because
for sure.
You know, there is warm, like there's plus degrees in Britain, mm-hmm. and there is no snow.
Yeah.
So we were just like, oh fuck yeah, it's Christmas, I guess. Yeah, well, I enjoy it though. You don't need to go in like winter shoes and stuff, so it was nice.
I think that's the thing as well. I think Britain just needs to take a leaf out of Norway's book, because we have not even 2 centimetres of snow and the whole country grinds to a fucking hole.
I've seen it on the news.
We are literally the most weakest country when it comes to things like that. It's like we're like meant to be one of these global players in the world scene, and literally like that much snow and we're fucked.
Yeah, that's how you conquer Britain. You know. Yeah. bring a snow machine. I was like, oh shit, but it's kind of funny because, like, you know, the holiday, that rom-com, that Christmas
Yes,
rom-com,
yeah, I know the one.
when Cameron Diaz is at that cottage with Jude Law, then there's a lot of snow, and everybody watching that, including me, is like, that is a great, like, that's how you want your Christmas, you know, that's how you want to celebrate December. But it's not true, is it?
No,
You know,
absolutely not.
it's
The only way that I want to have like a properly white Christmas is if I'm locked in with loads of food and a log fire. Like, and we don't have to go. We've got enough food for like a week, and we're like, so it's like, cool, I've got the fire, I've got my family, I don't need to go out. But it's basically that never happens because we get like I say, that much, and it all goes to fucking shit. So, but what can you do? I've got another good question for you. It's a question I've asked a few different guests over the last 4 years or so, and it's, where is the strangest or the weirdest place you've ever played a show? Now, when I say that, it doesn't have to give off negative connotations, because a lot of people instantly go, we played to one show, we played this one show, it was a man and his dog, and it was shit. What I mean is, it's kind of like you've looked around at your fellow bandmates, maybe the tour manager, and gone, who booked this? I mean, this is fine, but why are we here? Like, do you know what I mean? Like, we've had examples of people, like, they've played like a sex show, like a sex museum, things like that, and like played in like a pizza parlor. It's like, who? I mean, this is sick, but who booked this?
Oh man, I got several, and they're
Yeah,
all
go on.
fun. First one that came to mind was, like, many years ago, we used to play, like, this abandoned motorcycle club in,
Oh,
like, the middle of
amazing.
Norway. And it was like, there was like a broken piano outside, and like a lot of, I don't know what's it called, you know, when you kill an animal and you just have the skull,
Oh,
a lot of animal skulls
yeah,
hanging on the walls and outside.
taxidermy, is that what they call it?
Yeah, something
Yeah.
like that. Yeah. And then I remember they also had, like, weapons on the wall. And it was kind of in their living room. We played that several times, actually, because we're pretty nice. And that used to be the weirdest place until we went on a German tour with the Band of Soust, like a Greek stoner rock band. And we played in, what's the city called? Nuremberg. We played in Nuremberg. And it was like, we were driving to Nuremberg, and then we just kept on driving because, like, we were like, this is the city. But then we just, like, the venue was like way out from the city, and looked like a kind of a outside it looks kind of like a Mad Max kind of situation.
For
And
sure.
we went in, and there were like, it was a sex club. Like, there was dungeon, the backstage was like a sex dungeon, and I was like, I'm like a germaphobe, so I was just like empty backing the whole time because it was like these cages and shit. And a Plant of Zeus came there before us, and they were like, yeah, it was like a used condom on the floor, and there was like a lot of, and they had, like, in the roof, there was like this 90s Sony handheld camera that was just like mounted towards one of the cages. That was like a really funny place to play. But I remember they had really good a pasta bolognese, which they made for us,
Oh, amazing. Yeah.
and also there were some Norwegians who just had traveled along to see us in Germany, and they were, and I think they were like,
Yeah.
so what kind of venues are you guys playing in other countries? And we're like,
I think that's the thing. Like, I just love how like normal that is in Germany, though. Like, Germans have the just this in like as a British person, we are so inherently awkward, we just can't help it, right? Where like you go to anywhere in Europe, especially places like Germany, they're just so open, and they're like, yeah, it's fine, so this is normal. And like, as a British person, I'm like, this is like, I can't even like verbalize, I'm just shaking my head, just making noises. I'm like, this is not, no, this is not good. Like, you know what I mean? It's so weird. But yeah, it's a super cool, man. I love that. So I've got a couple of final questions before I let you on your way, and I'm so thankful for your time. One of which is a question I've asked every single guest in 2023, and I'll be honest with you, I was going to bid it off in 2024, but after a little sit down with myself, a little talk with my wife to be, and she was like, no, keep it, it's a good question, right? So, when Spotify, Apple Music, insert big corporate brand, buys this podcast from me, right? What I'm going to do is most people would reinvest it back in the podcast. I say, fuck that. What we're going to do is we're going to have a massive festival, right? And because we're having a massive festival, you guys are invited along with all the other bands that have been on the show. It's going to be about a week long. It's going to be amazing. We're going to have it.
Nice.
We're going to have it in the biggest possible field we can get our hands on. Because we've got loads of corporate sponsor money, that's not a problem, right? So what I want to know is what you and Bokassa would like to add to the Dream Rider of this festival. Now, you can have whatever you want because there's no financial limitations and there's no like space limitations because we've got this massive field. We have had everything from like puppies to like we've had a request for literal Taylor Swift just to be there, not to perform, just to sort of hang around and whatever. We've had like specific orders of like, in fact, it was actually a Norwegian band who said to me they wanted a specific brand of energy drink, and I can never remember what it's called, but it's quite popular in Norway apparently. And he just said, I want that, just a case of that. That's all I wanted. We've had everything from like roller coasters to like fucking people having like helicoptered in. What would you like to have on your Dream Rider?
I think, you know, I could go with like I want that this and that kind of food or something like that. Mm-hmm. But I'm thinking I don't really like to eat before for a show.
For sure.
And I also could do like those perfect hard seltzer, those Lindsberg lemonade. But we usually get them. So what I think I would do just for me and the drummer's amusement, mm-hmm. I would like you to hire a professional impersonator of our sound guy, Luz Magus, which is he's always quite grumpy and he gets really annoyed and he gets stressed out on festivals often. Mm-hmm. And I just want you to hire like a double of him, and just we don't want to say anything, but he will just come backstage and just hang out and just be exactly like him. And yeah. I know that will piss off our sound guy, but me and Ola will just have the best time.
So I want to. So this is always because the thing is you've thought about this, right? I've put you on the spot, and I completely agree. Some people just go, I just want this, but and it's like you've really like. So what I'm gonna do is because we've got unlimited money, we're gonna create a time machine. That's the wrong word. A duplicate, a cloning machine. We will just
clone of him.
We will just we will just clone him and just have him. You know, like I don't know if you're familiar with the I think it's an original Family Guy sketch where like Peter Griffin, the fat guy's like walking as a guy, his little son with a tube. I go, womp, 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 womp. He's like, leave me alone.
Yeah. I know that sketch.
Yeah. Like that, but just your sound guy, just following your clone sound. The clone following the sound guy, just like mocking him or whatever you need him to do.
He would just do like, if we ask him something and he'll be like, then the clone will do the same. And then he will look at him like, So we will be really amused by this. So yeah, and also he's one of probably Norway's best sound guy. Mm-hmm. I know a lot of bigger bands have tried to get them from us, but he's nice. Very loyal.
Yeah.
So have two of him like a clone will be just excellent.
You know what?
But yeah, no, that's the clone thing. Yeah, I want cloning on the rider. Yeah.
We can just franchise him. Like, you know, you get like a McDonald's and you get like the original, then you like just keep cloning him. Everyone who wants a new sound guy, and you want, I don't know, is 25% too much? Maybe not enough, but we'll let you figure out the details and how much you want.
Yeah. It sounds like a plan. Then we can finally get a tour bus. So,
There we go. A question I do like to ask as well is, if I tell you you're leaving for tour next week, what is the one thing you're double checking you've packed? What's one thing you can't leave your house with without when you're going on tour?
There are several things, but the one thing that makes sure that I won't be like annoyed the whole tour is my AeroPress Go for making coffee, and I like have a little coffee kit with a grinder and a weight digital weight scale and the AeroPress, because I really like coffee.
Yeah,
I do not like bad coffee, and there's a lot of bad coffee on the road, so I need to have it every morning before I have to like deal with the stress of the day, you know. So if I get that, then it's fine. If I don't get it, I'm like very easily annoyed. So that's the other thing I need.
Are you the kind of, because I'm so I turned 30 in March of last year, right? So I'm getting towards that way of like, I didn't need coffee maybe 2 years ago, but now I'm getting a little bit like dependent on it. And it's a slippery slope, and coffee's great, but like it's a slippery slope. And next thing you know, I'm going to have like a little medi kit like you've gone to and things and
Yeah.
all of that stuff. But yeah, there is definitely the difference between good coffee and bad coffee. So yeah, are you the kind of person that is like, don't talk to me before I've had my coffee? Because I can be like that. And yeah, I just struggle to function before I've had a coffee, to be honest with you. Like my partner will be saying things to me and I'm gone, give me at least 5 minutes, let me have this and then I'll be fine.
Yeah, especially in like in a work situation, when I know that, for example, always the morning of a tour is always like you have to answer some emails, maybe you have to talk to like a promoter, etc. Something that you have to make like a social, etc. Something has to be done. People are going to ask some questions, as especially since we don't have any management or something like that. We do it all ourselves. And I know that just like from the minute I get in the sprinter, it's going to be da, 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 da. So I just know I need like these 5 minutes with this coffee, especially now that I don't do snus anymore, like Norwegian tobacco.
Yeah, for sure.
So I need that like that little relaxing moment before, you know, start. And if I don't get it, I get annoyed. I'm
Yeah.
like, always do like this.
Yeah, that's the thing. And so my partner, she's, because you've been to obviously the UK and stuff, she's from very near Sheffield. She's about 10 miles from Sheffield, 10, 50 miles from Sheffield originally. So she just does this thing where she just does an eye roll. It's not even a noise, it's just the eye roll. And I'm like, oh yeah, I've messed up. I know. It's just this just a really subtle, oh, and it's like, okay. And she's like, no, it's fine, it's fine. And as soon as your partner says it's fine, you've already lost the battle, just walk away from it. Like
Yeah.
Mate, this has been an absolute pleasure. I've got one final question for you, which I ask every single artist in the last 4 years of doing this podcast. It's a very simple question, but it's very personal to the person I'm asking it to. That is, what is the best thing about being in a band for you personally?
Oh, that is a hard one to answer, I think. I don't know, this just something about what I really like is like maybe after we've done a good gig, that like afterwards when everybody has like having something to drink and just relaxing backstage and just having a like the feeling, the endorphins. I think that's a good feeling, and also the fact to just being on stage. But there's something about like the camaraderie, I guess, that you get, and also when you've done like a when you've done a good gig and you feel like happy, because you don't usually, at least not in my, because I'm always like, I'm always there's always things that I think we can do better. They always think I can do better. And it's not always just like a perfect gig, but sometimes you get that, and that is a good feeling. Could also be influenced by the fact how much you have to drink before you go on stage. You know,
Yeah, absolutely.
there's something for that. But I don't know. It's like a nuanced answer, and it's different stuff. But the whole those nights make it worth it. You know, kind
Yeah,
of.
absolutely. I've had people say to me before, every shitty thing you have to do in a band, whether that's flogging your own merch, loading in, loading out, losing cables, strings breaking, fucking cymbals crashing and breaking, all those like petty little things is always worth that time on stage. Like, you know, and that's the thing, you always just wait until that moment. And then it's like all of the stresses that have happened up to that point just kind of go, none of it matters. For this
Yeah.
half an hour, 40 minutes, an hour, none of it matters. I'm here right now with my bandmates, doing my thing with my people. And then you can walk off stage and then literally it's back to, oh, for fuck's sake, we've got to do this again.
Yeah.
All this shit moved and everything. But then that's
Yeah.
part and parcel.
No, there's something about that, because like for us, I have to like do most of like the day-to-day management, and I all often get the feeling that like nobody cares about this band except us. Like there's no one like championing us, you know, and it can be kind of exhausting sometimes. And also you at the point that you have to do the socials, you have to write the songs, you have to talk to label, you have to blah blah, the booking agency, and you have to be on it at all time. So it can be kind of like, but then when you get out to touring and you just kind of can kind of forget about that and just like sit in that sprinter on the way to show, do the sound check, and like that's the cool part. Like
Absolutely.
I even enjoy just waiting around backstage, because then then there's nothing I can do about it. I don't have to send 1 million emails or talk to people on the phone and get people to do stuff, because then we are there, so that's the part I like.
Do you get nervous before stage? I know that seems like a potentially contradictory question, because, like you say, professional touring band, it's your job. You get up, you do your thing, I guess you're only human, and that sounds like a weird statement, but like I try and when I was younger, like when I was a teenager and stuff, I look at bands and you idolize them and you put them on pedestals. You think they are more than human. This podcast is kind of saying, no, they're just a person. I'm just going to take them off there and just going to have a chat like we are. So do you kind of get nervous before shows and things?
No, not performance wise, because I know I know the songs, I know how to entertain and stuff like that. What I get really stressed about is like stuff like losing a guitar string, like the pedals not working, stuff like that. I have like this superstition that every time Olaf plays my guitar, I like break a string and I get so annoyed, and it happened in Belgium with therapy on like a big arena, and so the stuff like that. And I also, when we played like I think it was Barcelona or Madrid, like one of these big stadiums for Metallica, we have it now, we didn't have wireless, so I had just like this very long cable, and I was running down the catwalk with the guitar, and then it plugged out in front of a stadium for probably like 50,000 people, just
Sure.
probably like some seconds. But then I was like, God. So stuff like that, it gets to me. Not our performance, but like technical stuff. And if people not doing their job, like sound guy and light stuff, if things like if we plan something, for example, like with the LED screen or with some lights or maybe sound. And if that's not working, that should stress me out. I'm like, but not our playing.
Yeah, for sure.
So I get nervous when the apparatus around us doesn't work. That's kind of, and then it gets sets me off. Because if that's someplace, then I can relax on stage. But if not, then like, then you start to think about it, and then you start fucking up,
Absolutely. John, this has been a fucking pleasure, mate. Thank you so much for your time. I'm just gonna say all can't remember in writing now. All of our dreams, I don't know why my brain struggles to read that sentence. All of our dreams is out on the 16th of February. Is there anything you want to say to the people listening and watching at home?
Oh, thanks for having me. Thanks for watching. Check out the album. It's excellent.
Second and third and fourth. It's a brilliant record, and I hope it does everything it deserves to. In a righteous world that is sometimes not righteous, I feel like it should do fucking numbers and people should be on it. Because if you are like, this is my call to arms to anyone watching, listening to this, right? I'm gonna look right down the around the weird thing, right? If you're a fan of riffs and melodies and good times and metal and beer drinking, get this fucking record. It's sick. You can have that one, mate. You can put that on your on your reviews and whatever else.
That's an excellent tagline. Excellent tagline.
Lovely stuff. Thank you, mate. This has been a pleasure. Enjoy the rest of your evening. Good luck with the album, and we shall see you on
Awesome,
the road.
man. Bye bye.
Cheers,
Thanks for
mate.
having me.
See you later.